All right. Welcome to another thrilling episode of Truth and Reconciliation. It's the Pellwood Fantasy Football League podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. It is great to have you with us. Peter, how are you, sir?
I'm excited. I'm very happy league commissioner. We're here in, it's final week of the season. It's championship week. It's, and what's really great is it's just like we expected. We're getting the number one team versus the number two team.
Right. Because we're always
Derek
right.
here at the end of the year.
Just like we
facing
wanted.
Off, just like we expected. That's great.
That's right.
Of course, they are playing for the third place.
Booyah!
But they are playing each other in the last week of the season, just like we all expected.
This is true, and it's the game we want to watch.
Do you need some of this?
That voice you hear from the sky is Brock Waskow. Brock, congratulations to you, sir.
And likewise to you, good sir.
Oh, well, thank you very much, good sir.
We'll just stroke each other's egos, you know?
Egos, yes, indeed. Now, it feels good. Peter, I gotta say, the cash prize, the upping the ante, I have never felt more affirmed that was the best decision that this league made this year than as I do right now, knowing that Brock and I are playing with house money at this point. It feels fantastic to know that either way, I'm getting a steak dinner out of this weekend. Man, what a time to be alive.
and not just that, but the weekly prize winning things is cool.
That's
too,
because right.
You're already up $60.
That's right. That's right. So, man.
Yeah, well, you know, it's worked out well for some people.
Great,
you know?
Commissioning. So, some people. Brock pointed out an interesting stat to me.
There are like three people that upping the ante has worked out well for.
That. Exactly. So, Brock, you care to revisit the stat of what you pointed out to me? Was it yesterday or day before we were visiting on the phone? Those who have consistently topped the league leading points per week.
So there's only been four people that have taken home a leading point total all this year, and we're all playing for money this week. Mm. It's been myself, Jared, Derek, and Seth are the only ones to win a weekly week, and we're all in the finals and semi for consolation, third place.
Yeah. So the toilet bowl winner will be someone new into the money, but otherwise there will only be four people making money.
Hey, 16 weeks in, never too late.
Yeah. So either Andy or Chewy will get into the money, but otherwise there'll be seven of us who have just been donating to the cause all year.
Well, I appreciate your donations. I look forward to sending y'all a video from one of the finer steak shops in Houston as I describe and articulate. Yeah, this steak brought to you by Peter. This salad brought to you by Derek.
I call this steak Le'Veon.
Well, you know, I'll just be buying diapers, so I'm pretty sure you don't want me to show you before and after pictures.
Well, yeah, that's really a buzzkill. Really takes the feel good out of the winds. Well, guys, Merry Christmas.
Really. Really.
Well, guys, Merry Christmas to both of you. Here we are on the eve of the weekend of the eve to the eve of Christmas. You guys looking forward to both the fantasy football and general NFL watchings, as well as family get-togethers this weekend?
Yeah, looking forward to the football more than the Christmas festivities, naturally. But yeah. it's the last two seasons. I think last season the fantasy championship was on Christmas Day, and then this year it's on Christmas Eve. So I just kind of funny timing the last two seasons, but it's good. It's a nice to still have the fantasy outlet when there can be sometimes an overwhelming amount of Christmas and family things going on as well.
Now, Brock, this is a unique Christmas for you because this is the first of what will be mini Christmas as a father. So how goes your preparation and anticipation of this season?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because I feel really terrible. Some people know, but you do now, I'm not co-located with my significant other and child. The Army has me in San Antonio, and they're up here in the Dallas area, and I come up on weekends, but I'm coming up for 2 weeks now, and she's working as a police officer tonight and tomorrow night and yesterday. She works a lot and works hard, and I'm up here taking care of baby. It's really hard to say what I'm looking forward to more, her day off or football. I haven't been this excited about a matchup in a long time.
Well, I appreciate the sentiment and being near the category of what to anticipate.
No.
We'll leave it at that, though, just for your
sake.
Just in case the after chance she listens to this later, we'll leave it there.
She'll understand the good-natured humor of it and take the money and run anyway. So, you know.
I'm excited about this weekend, too. I genuinely have been anticipating Sunday like no other week before. I mean, Brock, you and I are in the finals. We discussed it a little bit at the draft, if you remember. I remember talking about it with Ben, talking about who's due. Who is due for a championship ring of sorts? And Brock, it's already been commented that our styles of drafting are unique in that this matchup,
goodness,
it's such a great story. I mean, we couldn't, and we were sitting by each other and we had two different strategies and two different blood alcohol levels.
That's part of the strategy. It's not David versus Goliath.
No.
It's like old school versus new school.
Yes.
It's like pen and paper versus techie.
Which is a little nerve-wracking for me, because I feel like every movie ever made about old school versus new school...
The movie where Rocky comes back and boxes again.
There you go. Rocky, it's all about the new dog in town, all the flash and all the technology, and the old school is washed up. But wait, one cheesy montage later, and bam, championship. So I'm not playing the underdog, and here's the deal. Before we get into this, there have been some flagrant accusations. For once, Pete, the commissioner, finds himself the observer, as I have been more so the recipient of accusations. Apparently, I've developed a reputation for being a panderer. Now, Peter's nodding right now. Peter, care to, why don't you just lay the charge against me? As it stands right now, your understanding of the league sentiment towards me?
I don't know about the whole league sentiment, but I think... I think, you know, the NFL is a copycat lead. Our fantasy football league can also become a copycat lead. And I think
insinuate yourself, Commissioner.
I think you have perceived.
You may want to play the Fifth Amendment.
Success in the past that has come from pandering and have adopted that as a strategy for yourself.
Success. Let's talk about this. I'll just finish.
It's not coming from a heart of hearts. It's coming from a deep sense of fear that's just unnecessary. Yeah. And so when you are beating your opponent by 60 points and still acting concerned over the last two players that your opponent has left to play, it just, you know, it comes across a little as less than genuine. And not really hard parts.
They're subjective.
All right. Well, here's what I'll say. Recent data point being the outlier. Well, I acknowledge that a two player spread was definitely pandering. Absolutely. Will I acknowledge that the 3 weeks prior, when I said, "Hey, by the way, I'm going to lose out the rest of the season. I just want to let that be known," and you said, "Yeah, you're right." And I said, "I know I am. Look at my schedule. I'm going to lose out the rest of the season. I'm real glad that I have solidified my place in the playoff bracket already, because I'm about to go 0-3. Lo and behold, I went 0-3. Now, I had a close one with Chris. I'll acknowledge that. But pandering, I was not. Clearly, I was actually just calling the shot, saying, "This is going to kind of suck, and I don't have much of a chance here." And heart of hearts, couldn't be more. But I refer you to evidence of it didn't work anyway. So it's not really pandering.
You're talking about results-based analysis. No, whether it worked or not is not whether it's pandering or not. You were pandering, and it whatever happens, happens.
And yet it's insulting to me to think that I would go back to the well week after week after week in an attempt to thwart. Here's what I'm going to say right now. To demonstrate that my heart of hearts is pure and I am not intending to pander whatsoever, I'm looking at my matchup with Brock. Guess what? I look good. And I'm gonna beat Brock this week.
Oh,
fantasy gods be damned! I'm gonna beat him.
So, I just wanted to point out something. It just dawned on me. Seth had two laptops. Everyone else had one laptop. I had zero laptops. So the key to making the championship game is having more or less than one laptop.
Okay, that's what we really should be talking about.
But even I just want to say, even this week though, you're calling out Alshon Jeffrey missing practice because of an illness on Thursday. An illness. It's like he has a sniffle. It doesn't feel true.
Hey, he missed. For the record, he missed practice on Wednesday.
Three of Ertz's last five games are duds, so that I'd rather him just as soon show up and still be sick and not really play and have you play the wrong one. Because don't you have Golden Tate?
I do, but when you're talking about Zach Ertz, I made a little move this week myself to hedge the Zach Ertz bet. So we'll see how
you
that
took
goes.
Goddard.
I did.
Hmm.
I picked him up this morning.
I've listened. So the Eagles had two Sunday night games in the past month.
Yeah.
And I drive down on Sunday nights and I've listened to them. And I just got really angry every time I heard Goddard's name. Also, I'm trying to quit nicotine. So I'm just angry in general.
Well,
every
you,
time I hear Goddard's name, I just get like, I fly into a blackout rage of like, why aren't you throwing it to the best tight end in the league right now? It makes me mad.
Well, I don't mean to add salt to that wound. However, just for the record, I haven't put him in yet. I set an alarm for 11:45 on Sunday morning to check and see if Zach Ertz is actually going to play. And if I'll tell you what, if he's playing, I'm not going to put him in. I'll just leave McDonald in, and we'll call that that. But how sweet would it be if they bench Zach Ertz and I slide good old Goddard in and whoop you with your backup tight end? It would be sweet. It would be a sweet playoff. Come on.
You know,
it would be sweet.
Still, first off, you say you're going to win. I'm playing the Cleveland Browns defense in the championship game. So if you lose, you have to live with that for a year. You got beat by it. Just like I won my first playoff game by putting in the Giants defense.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah,
you
needed it. Needed every bit of it. You won by 1.3 points.
Now, Brock, I'm actually surprised, and I have a question for you. I am shocked that you let me pick up a defense this week. How did that happen? You hedged all your bets that nobody was going to go after. I know you needed a running back real bad, and I was terrified. I was terrified of who you were going to pick up. And when I set up two transactions this week. I set up and I was like, I probably shouldn't do this. I need to put all my money on a defense. I need to figure this out. I did a $6 bid on a defense, and I used the rest. I think it was $5, but I knew that wasn't going to do anything. I knew it wasn't going to do absolute squat. Something's got to stop you, because as we've discussed, this week is the running backs versus the wides. Pete, would you agree? That is the layout.
100%. My wide receivers versus your running
backs.
That's
right. And you have, my friend, the best wide receiving core in the league right now. And I think that my running backs are fairly formidable.
They are. The only thing that I would be concerned with is if I were you, mm-hmm. is the Saints have their days where they're just it's a Mark Ingram day.
That's right. Exactly. And
Then again,
we decided to pass the ball today. And then in that case, I'm going to lose anyway because Michael Thomas is going to be the ringer. But here's my thought. We have a running back versus wide situation, and I'm panicking because I'm going, if you get any edge on running backs, especially if you pick up who is arguably a RB1 coming into this week, that's going to give you a 10 to 15 point advantage that I don't think I can overcome in any sense of the imagination.
So here's why I would say it's close to a coin flip, but I would give myself the edge, and it's not my wide receivers, and it's not your running backs. It's going to be
your quarterback.
Russell Wilson has been middlingly average at best.
Yep.
That being said, he's tied for the league lead or second in the league in multi-touchdown games. And he plays the Chiefs at home, and the Chiefs don't really have a good defense. And I think Russell Wilson's going to come out and have his best game of the year. I think the Browns at home against a very, very crappy Bengals team without AJ Green and without their starting quarterback, I think the Browns defense is going to put up a very respectable score. I do not expect 22 from my kicker, sadly. That'd be nice. I would take that. just because the tilt factor of losing because the other guy's kicker scores 22 is pretty high.
Oh, sure.
Oh, wait.
And demoralizing. Demoralizing. Like, I think at that point, I actually have to stab my gut with a sword if that takes place, which I'm willing to do. I'll have to check the bylaws on that. But here's what I'm driving at. We have, as it stands, a RB versus wide. I've put my money this year in the pass-catching running back. It's got me this far. You've put your money in a mix. You've had one of the best tight ends in the league, and you got your wide. So really just the pass-catching wideouts that you've been playing or the slots.
Don't forget Tariq Cohen. Tariq Cohen doesn't really run the ball. He does his catch passes and throw touchdowns.
This is true. Yep, and he's had a couple of stud performances throughout the... I mean, he's about 50-50 on what he's done, but when he's a stud for sure. I think his season high was like 36 points for you this year. My
35.4.
There you go. Thanks for the precision. My question still stands though, because I was really freaking out that you were going to get Jamal Williams this week, and I thought that's going to be the nail in the coffin for me. That's going to give you the extreme advantage. You put all your money in on it, and I understand that. Tell me, what were you thinking? Why not try to block my defensive pickup? And then, of course, you didn't stand a chance with Derek when he came in and dropped his...
Did not. It was just me.
Friggin' bet the farm on you.
It was me. So, you know, to tell you the truth, since my kid was born, I have not really played the waiver wire all that closely. That month I spent in Arizona... I was working 12 to 16 hours a day. Mm. Intermittent cell coverage at best. Get back here. I've already, you know, I got back 2 weeks ago. I've already made the drive down and back between here and San Antonio three times round trip. So been very busy. And it just oversight. Mm. Didn't look at your team and what you needed.
I got you. All right. Well, yeah. I feel like you could have played the Noble Grace card there and said, you know, Seth, I'm not about that. I'm not about the why snipe a man when I can rather just take confidence in my own team. And so had you walked that line,
I'm all about may the best team win. I am, believe it or not. Which is why when Peter said I'm going to bench a player to meddle with playoff matchups, I'm like, no, play the guy and let the dice roll. No, it turned out to be inconsequential. Just play a team.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying the Dolphins will make a huge difference for me this week, but if they do, I'm going to say, hey, Brock, thanks, man. Thanks.
And if they go negative, I'll thank you.
Yeah, well, sure. I didn't. It was kind of slim pickings as it was, so...
Worst streamer of defense special teams all year.
Yeah. I think I've been the best. I'm looking forward to pulling the stats. Maybe Pete knows off the top of his head. I think I have been the best week for week, point for point defense streamer, but I'm not sure if that's accurate.
I've not been keeping track of the points scored by position this year because it did not feel worth it each week to go through.
Come on.
Protesting ESPN. I'm hoping those two people that are looking to hire
don't even get me started. I'm so frustrated with ESPN this week. There have been more clerical errors. They have just dropped the ball this week.
They today they completely changed way too many stats. screwed up so many points from the week 15 matchups. That was going to have implications not for you guys, but for St. Charles to the last place game instead of Scott. So that would have been tragic and hilarious.
Yeah. So Pete, just side note on that.
So here's the bet. Here's the bet. Regardless of who loses, do they forfeit their key? What are the odds that someone actually takes the SAT?
That's my question. That was exactly where I was going at. What are the odds? Because of, like, I look at if Charles was in the last place hole and playing for the title of first SAT taker, I would expect him to take the SAT based on his character and his intelligence. And then I'd be like, crap, the smartest guy in the league has now set the bar for losers. In the SAT.
I don't know. I would be interested to see if Pete and Charles get side by side, who would come out on top.
Well, all that to say, Pete, I echo Brock's question. What are the actual odds that these two would either take their SAT or forfeit their keeper?
Oh, they're getting punished one way or another. It's up to them how they get punished. They can take the SAT or come August 1st. If they haven't, all their keeper's going
to
be
$200. Yeah, but we want them to take the SAT.
We do want them to take the SAT. But right now they have the option. August 1st, if they have not provided proof of the SAT being taken, then I will go and edit the keeper salaries for their whole team to $200, and they won't be able to select a keeper. So there will be a punishment. It's in the bylaws.
So they actually have to weigh how much do they want to spend on their keeper.
Right. Mm. And really the quality of their keeper options are going to weigh into it. I mean, right. Like if you're going to keep Matthew Stafford for $2.
Yeah. You might as well forfeit your keeper. Forfeit your
keeper. I forget who did that this year, but what a dummy. You know?
I remember, but we're friends, so we'll move on.
Oh yeah, that's right. I remember. That's good.
Oh, I think it was the same guy that had the option to keep Gurley this year for under $50. But that's neither here nor there. Am I right?
Yeah. No. Not important.
All right. Well, Pete, $50. Well, Pete, why don't you give us let's work from bottom to top. Give us an update. We're coming back after a week hiatus on the pod, but after round one and two of the playoffs, where do we stand in the toilet bowl?
Yeah. So the toilet bowl is going to be Andy versus Chewy, who have both won in the first two rounds of the playoff weeks to earn their way to the toilet bowl. Winner of the toilet bowl gets a small consolation $30 prize. Not a big deal, but it's something, right? You're playing for something. You know, the number 8 and number 7 teams have a leg up in terms of odds to get to the toilet bowl, where they could lose the first week and then win the second week. Basically, no matter what happens in the first week for those number 7, number 8 teams, as long as they win the second week, they're in the toilet bowl. They were not able to do that. Andy and Chewy got there, so they'll get a shot at some money, which is great. And then, like we said, playing for last place, Michael and Scott have both gone lose-lose in the first two rounds of the playoffs to earn, quote-unquote, earn their spot in the last place game. So a loser there is going to get a punishment. And then, like we said, playing for third place, the two best teams in the league all season, Jared and Derek, who failed to combine to beat Brock's score in week 15. As Derek scored 90, Jared scored 79. So, yeah, a combined 169 points between them when they were averaging 150, 155 every week throughout the year. So just absolutely complete collapse of their teams when it, you know, really the most important week of the season. Week 15 is definitely the most important week of the season because Jared and Derek, I mean, you guys are competing for either a $500 or $250 prize from first to second. So you're splitting $750 in some way. And now Jared and Derek basically have a 50-50 shot at $100. So it's a massive dollar loss between winning and losing week 15, more important than winning and losing week 16, even if you're in the championship.
It's like when there's four guys left at the poker table and it's 2 a.m. on a Hold'em tournament night. And you just gotta outlast one guy. Place, man. You just gotta make it into the top three. Now, Brock, this would be your moment to interject something about your narrative and how you specifically look.
Draft for the playoffs,
there
baby.
You go. there it is.
Hark it back to the 2016 season where the core of my team was the Tennessee Titans, Delanie Walker, DeMarco Murray, Marcus Mariota, and they go and they play pre-Mahomes KC in Arrowhead for my first game of the playoffs after the bye, after dominating all season, and just absolutely get obliterated because, the Titans got shut down. The rest of my team wasn't enough to carry, and now I draft for weeks 14 through 16 and hope it's strong enough to and consistent enough to make the playoffs. I make sure I have a stud. I make sure I have a strong supporting cast with decent schedules.
Well, and here you are. Who can argue with you?
I don't need to win the season crown. I need to win the season championship.
That's back-to-back seasons in the championship game for Brock. Took second place last year. Going for the title this year. First title since winning it.
My team's not that last year.
You won it in 2009, but that was...
You lost at the touchdown receptions record, and Wes Welker had 120 receptions as well.
Yeah, I think that was back when we had 8 teams in the league. So that doesn't... I mean, that was a very different version of the league than the one that we have today.
I don't think we were doing auction drafts yet. Yeah.
No, that was pre-auction draft. That was pre a lot of things. So that one, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of like when you talk about baseball in 1890.
Yeah,
it's those records don't really count.
Don't count.
Nobody was on the juice yet.
Dead ball era.
Man. Yeah, Peter only had like 6 kids then. Like, it doesn't even...
A whole other lifetime ago.
That's right. All right. So we've got Andy and Chewy. And congratulations to both of them. For a while, and maybe it was pandering, like season-long pandering, Andy was predicting an SAT sitting early on.
I mean, he deserved it.
He really did. He really did.
And team was terrible.
I just want to tip my hat to him right now because he's, despite being, let's see, 2 games shy of Chewy's regular season record, he is playing here for the... He won when it really, kind of really counted. So, well done, buddy.
Weeks 14, 15, and 16 is when it matters.
That's right.
And this year, week 14 and 15 were relatively low scoring weeks, especially week 15. That was really low scoring week, mm-hmm. Except for, you know, like there were 3 teams who scored well in week 14. There was 1 team that scored well in week 15. Otherwise, everyone was a really low score. And in low scoring weeks, I feel like strange things can happen. So I think that's why Andy especially benefited from those low scoring point totals, and Chewy too. I mean, they're getting to the toilet bowl with scores of 92 and 118 and 109 and 123. So, you know, not topping 125 points, getting to the toilet bowl. It's kind of like getting to the championship with scores of 127 and 138. You know, it's like you didn't really, you know, put a huge score to get there.
Shots fired.
Looking at their matchup this week, right now, currently Chewy has yet to field a quarterback. He actually does not have a quarterback on his bench or anywhere to slide in. Ironically.
Wait, he kept Matthew Stafford doesn't have a quarterback.
Ironically. That's
bold strategy, Cotton.
Real bold. So
you just won the league championship. What are you going to do?
Drop my QB keeper. So I think maybe it's an oversight. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, maybe. But if he makes a good decision on the waiver wire, he should pick up a conservative 12 to 18 points, maybe, and bring him into the running and projection with Andy. Andy's got Kirk Cousins leading the helm. His stock running back core of Chris Carson and Derrick Henry. Henry's looking pretty good right now. Right now, ESPN says that Jalen Samuels playing up against New Orleans looks better by about half of a point than Derrick Henry, who's up against Washington. I disagree. I think that Derrick Henry is going to be the pickup difference that Andy takes through to the toilet bowl. Is it a victory? Is it like... Like, I don't know. Is there glory in the toilet bowl win? How do you feel when you win the toilet bowl?
I've never been, never had the experience of trying to achieve the toilet bowl.
Sure.
So I'm not sure. Well, maybe we can do a post toilet bowl interview with the winner.
Well, whatever that is, I think Andy's going to get it. Now he is playing Texas DST against Philadelphia. I think this is a mistake. I think that Texas is going to get run over by Philadelphia, and for that reason, it's going to bring him back down into the baseline that Chewy and Andy will be running after this week. You got Kyle Rudolph up against Detroit. You've got Robbie Anderson up against Green Bay. A couple of decent matchups on the wide side of Chewy. Ultimately, though... One, without a quarterback, you're not going to make a whole lot. Well, you're just leaving points on the board, really, is what you're doing. You're missing an opportunity to say the least. But ultimately, I do think that Andy's team matchup for matchup does look better this weekend. Do y'all have any thoughts on it?
I think Andy's team actually looks really strong this week with Chris Carson and Derrick Henry, both stepping into larger shares of the load here towards the end of the season on their respective teams. He's got Julian Edelman, who's been playing really well, and now Josh Gordon is suspended or taking a mental health break, whatever.
We don't know. What is that?
From New England, So I think Andy's team looks pretty good. And obviously, if Chewy doesn't start a quarterback, there's almost no way that he can win. So, but I think, I think Andy's looking pretty good to finish with a 3-game win streak after he won 2 games the entire regular season and take the toilet bowl. That would be that'd be fun. So, but I think we should really, give the people what they're here for and really get to your game, because I don't even think Jared and Derek want to be in the third place game, want to hear us talk about them in the third place game. So, out of respect for the death of their seasons, I think we should just talk about y'all's game and then get out of here.
I agree. I do think that Jared would appreciate the fact if we would acknowledge that he had kind of mentally prepared himself for a loss. He not only predicted it just from the, hey, it's hard to beat the same manager twice, but also he was looking at his week matchup on week 15, and I won outright by scoring the second highest points total of the week, but he gave me a lot of favors too, and his team was really, really struggling. I didn't need the points that I did, and I think he called that, and Jared, I know sometimes it sucks to be right. Believe me, I've been there, but you were right.
Yeah, there was almost nothing that he could do about his week. I mean, he's not going to bench Lamar Miller or Keenan Allen, and they both got hurt and combined for 0.8 points.
That's right.
And, I mean, Adam Thielen scored 4, Eric Ebron scored 2, Dak Prescott scored 6. And it's like even if you gave Lamar Miller and Keenan Allen, 20 points each, which would be a pretty good game for both of them, he would still lose by 18. Like, it wouldn't be close.
No.
So he was drawing dead, and it was pretty clear from the jump that he was in a lot of trouble. So he scored like 80 points below his projection for the week. Because it was the absolute worst case scenario for his team.
It was the worst case scenario, but man, I tip my hat to you. You went 12-1. Really, you went 1-12 in that order through the regular season, and that is remarkable. Incredible. I don't think anybody's ever finished the regular season with a stronger record. Very, very well done. Derek, you came out of the woodwork somewhere around week 3 and didn't stop taking numbers. You whooped up in our league. You were very, very much so justified.
Not the first time he's done that.
No, it's not, because he's a really good fantasy football manager, and he drafted really well, despite my lack of firepower comments. I see clearly that he knew a lot that I did not, and that there was firepower to be found in new Holmes. Names for sure, and he knew what he was doing, and it paid off for him up until the very end. There was nothing he could do about it this week, because Brock drafted for the playoffs. And it paid off. He's smiling right now. Paid off week 15, shut him down, and now here we are. But gentlemen, to both of you, Jared and Derek, very well done. Excited to watch you guys duke it out for the third place pride, as well as a little bit of cash return to make up for your investment this season. Well done, guys.
And I hope they both score 200 points this week.
That would be fantastic. Even better.
Is James Conner still out?
Yeah, James Conner is likely out.
Yep.
Okay, so that probably won't happen.
It probably won't, but it'd be great.
It would be great. All right, Pete, take us to the game of the week. Or do we want to call the championship the game of the week? is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's all definitely right. What we want
Take us to it.
You guys have already run through a lot of the players, so I don't want to drain too much here. I'll point out Brock is employing the Didion strategy. He has 3 empty bench spots. He's saying,
testing the fleece.
The victory is the Lord's, and it is not my doing. I'm sending home those who are excess of what God requires to win this battle. So
really good time. Well done.
Yeah. So
I mean, I have something. I have to do something to counteract the preseason post draft number one overall ranking. It's like a curse. I was like, ah, shit. What am I supposed to do here?
Yeah. I mean, and how about those draft rankings? After all, I mean, we had like both of us had Brock number one, and then I think Seth, you had yourself number two, and I had you number three. So, mm-hmm. I mean, really, what a
at the end of the day. Just,
would nail it.
Nailed it. Professional.
That is all that matters.
Yeah. But we knew that. We were just reminding everyone. So, yes. Go on, Pete.
And then, so on the flip side, I feel like Seth is playing a little bit of roulette at wide receiver. Where
I really am. That's exactly what it is. It's wide receiver roulette. I have to pick the one who's going to do average.
Yeah, like Tenny Stills is in there, and the last 2 weeks he's scored 3 points, and he's scored 27 points, and and it's likely he's going to do one of those two things again this week. You don't know which one.
No, I don't.
So here's another one of my thought processes too. One of the things that's hampered me all year long has been start-sit decisions of who do I play? Who do I fill the void? And I feel like I've been terrible at it. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to keep a couple players in reserve just in case somebody gets hurt in practice. I can plug a hole. But other than that, I'm just going to rid myself of the decisions and make the determination and go for it. Like, that's that. Who do I start? Well, there's no one left to pick up. Okay.
I mean, you still have the decision because you could still add someone from the waiver wire. Who might outperform your player, but it's just not to be sitting there on your bench staring in the face as you look at your scoreboard for the week. So they'll be out on the waiver wire, out of sight, out of mind.
Exactly.
Now, Seth, you also have the number two quarterback on the season, which I saw that in the matchup and I was like, that can't be right. Matt Ryan is not the number two scoring quarterback for the year, but sure enough, there he is.
Sure is.
He is going on the road to Carolina, who does not have a very good defense, though they did kind of just shut down Drew Brees. So that one will be really interesting to see. Yeah, and Carolina has also shut down Cam Newton now. So they seem to be kind of throwing in the towel in the season. It'll be interesting to see how their defense plays and how Matt Ryan does on the road. Obviously, you know, infamously in week one, he only scored 9 points on the road.
Right.
And, I think from that point on, we said he's a dome quarterback mostly. And that has mostly held up, except for not recently. He's actually had a couple of duds at home. You know, two of the last three starts at home were not actually that good. So I think maybe it's normalized a little bit now where it's more about the defense he's playing in. So I think you're in pretty good shape. But really, yeah, your running backs are strong with, Kamara and Zeke are both top five running backs. You know, Zeke had a bad week last week, or at least it was, not a good week. You know, the Cowboys got shut out.
Let's
and still,
about, Zeke's, yeah, the Cowboys still, he scored, had a bad week.
He scored 20 points, and now they're at home against Tampa Bay. I mean, he should just,
smash this week. Zeke, then that's why I can say, I'm not going to pander this week. I'm going to win because in Zeke I trust.
Yeah, and then Marlon Mack, who I traded to
that
you,
didn't work
also,
out for you the last time we played.
Also is in a really good spot at home against the Giants after he just scored 28 points against the Cowboys at home, and the Giants defense is much worse than the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. So a really good spot for all your running backs, I think. And so wide receiver roulette, we'll see what happens.
That's
there.
Right.
But the running backs
that really is the contrast. I have a situation where I've got my running backs and I have plenty of wides to choose from. And you know what? One of them is probably going to score over 20 points. I don't know which one. I really don't. And the past 3 weeks, I've been really good at making sure that player's on my bench.
So, I think the difference makers for me are going to be Russell Wilson, Tariq Cohen, and the Browns defense. Tariq Cohen on the road, but against the Niners, I think he's going to catch a lot of passes. And I think that's going to be the difference in what carries me. I think I'm going to win, and I think it's going to be because my quarterback, my running back, which nobody sees coming because I don't have Zeke or Mack or Kamara. I have Cohen and Gus Edwards, who's playing in a terrible situation, and I my other option is Wendell Smallwood. Like, but
I think both of you have some really strong matchups this week. Brock's wide receivers is really strong. Michael Thomas at home versus Pittsburgh, Hopkins at Philadelphia, and Robert Woods at Arizona. I think those are all really good matchups. And even Zach Ertz at home against Houston, that's a really good matchup too. Houston's not very good against tight ends. And so, but you both have like two spots on your roster that I question, where I'm not sure about what you're going to get from there. It's Gus Edwards and D.D. Westbrook for Brock. It is Kenny Stills and Vance McDonald, or whoever you play a tight end for, Seth. And so, but I think, you can... You're projected for 145 and 142 points. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be high scoring. It should be one of the best championship games we've had in a long time.
I'm so excited. Brock is equally excited. We've talked a few times this week about it. And with all the banter.
So that's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Bringing us closer together.
That's right. With all the banter, honestly, we're just looking forward to seeing what happens, because this is where camaraderie is at its finest. I wish Brock the best. This is the kind of competition I want to be in. This is the kind of spirit of competitiveness that I enjoy, and I feel like we can do with respect and with really some admiration. Because there's a lot of decisions and factors that go into it.
I was talking to Seth earlier today, and I said the only thing that can make this better is if we were watching the games together while slow roasting some pig.
That's right. Dilly dilly. Now, I do need to add a caveat. If I do win, I did mention buying exorbitant amounts of high quality food in the names of my defeated co-managers. I would like to say, if I do win, I will not taunt Derek. If anything, I'll buy a beer in his honor and say, yeah, Derek bought me this beer. And I'll raise that glass to him and I'll say, Derek, thank you. Thank you for drafting Jamal Williams. Thank you. That may be the game maker for me this weekend. We'll see.
So before we wrap up and sign off here, two things I'm also looking forward to is some proposed rule changes.
Yeah. You heard about that?
We don't have a whole lot going on in the off season. But one of the things we do typically do is if there's a rule change that everyone seems to be at least discussing or in favor of, we talk about it in the off season. And I'm looking forward to voting on amending our keeper rules to remove the 2-year cap. However, we have to do that. I'm also looking forward to the addition of trading next year's draft dollars for this year's players. Those are just two things I'm looking forward to for the offseason.
And those will be tabled for offseason discussion. We'll also, there's a few more things I've added to the list. I've got six things on the list that we'll talk about. So it'll be a fun offseason going over those and trying to come to some consensus about how we move forward and improve the lead.
Mm. Hey, table away. I just wanted to point out my peaked interest for beyond the season.
That's right.
Absolutely. Here's what we're committed to here at TNR. Following the championship game, Peter and I will wrap up the season with a Discord, if you will, a debrief of the season, as well as the championship overview, of course, but also some high-level stats and some miniature awards that are worth nothing more than just the head nod, but we'll pull some data out of Poker Face and some of the stats that ESPN should be providing but is not. So we'll do that in the recap series, and we'll probably offer an episode where we discuss all the potential changes and their ramifications so that everybody can be fairly informed as we move to a voting season of rule change, bylaw updates, etc. Sound fair, Pete?
Sounds good to me. I don't know if we've ever done a postseason podcast, actually. I think it's always kind of fallen by the wayside.
Well, I've never been in the championship TNR has existed, which we've been doing this podcast for about 4 years. Is that right? It's our fourth season.
You would know better than me.
Well, I haven't been in the championship in those 4 years. And so
for
that reason, I'm a little bit more engaged.
We're just fully not ashamed of our narcissism here.
That's right. Also, I'm
just all in.
I'm also anticipating winning. This could totally change come this weekend. If I have lost, then I might, you know, pull the old, well, I'm bored with it now. Pete, we haven't spoken since I knocked you out of the playoffs, at least formally on TNR. How'd your wife take the news?
She was not surprised. But, you know, she was surprised that I made the championship in my other lead. And I told her, you know what, even if I get second place in the other lead, I will still be positive on my entry fees for the year. So we're good. And she's like, all right, you can play another year. But she was like, I was going to shut you down if you don't win.
Well, shoot. Introducing your newest host.
High stakes right here, right? High
Truth and Reconciliation. Stakes. He's Brock Waskow. I'm Seth Martin. We used to have a friend named Pete. He got neutered. May it never be here at the greatest fantasy football league in the world. This is its podcast. He's Peter Elwood. That's Brock Waskow. I'm Seth Martin. Thanks for tuning in. Good night.